Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and this is episode 205. Now, you might have noticed if you've been listening to The Dream Show for a while that occasionally we experiment with doing something just a little bit different, and this episode is one of those. And the reason this time is that I was invited to be a guest on Katie Pasternak's radio, Sexy Soul Radio, recently, and what she recorded in episode 114 of her series was a lovely interview all about dreams, and we're talking for about an hour. And when I was listening to it afterwards, I thought, you know, I think you, the Dream Show audience, would really enjoy this interview. We cover a lot of ground. And in it, Katie also asks about her own recurring dream theme about dreaming about an ex. So I asked Katie what she thought about it. And she said, yeah, it's a brilliant idea. Do go ahead. You know, put my whole episode on your show. So that's what we're going to do. But first of all, a little bit of information about Katie. So Katie Pasternak is a hypnotherapist, and she's also a neuroscientist, and also works in with other skills that she's got, for example, her very lovely intuition. And she's a women's business and transformation coach. You can find out more about her at her website, which is katiepasternak.com. That's Katie, C-A-T-Y, P-A-S-T-E-R-N-A-K, katiepasternak.com. And of course, you'll see the link to her website in the accompanying blog for this podcast. She's a lovely, lively individual, and she asks some brilliant questions, and I think you'll really enjoy it. On the blog that accompanies this podcast, I've also put the video, because when she was recording this, she actually recorded the video version of us both sitting together a few continents apart, but sitting together on screen having this conversation. So I know that most of you are audio listening people. That's why you love podcasts. But if you occasionally like to watch as well, and you'd like to watch us having this conversation, then go to my blog at janeteresa.com, find this episode, which is episode 205, and you'll find the link to the video in the blog there. So this episode of Katie Pasternak's Sexy Soul Radio Show is called Dream Interpretation and Subconscious Transformation, a conversation about what our dreams represent and how we can use them to live a more expansive life. So I'm going to sign off and leave you to enjoy that. Well, I might not sign off completely. I might have a chat with you at the end. But just before we do, my own website links, in case you haven't been there for a while, janeteresa.com. That's Teresa without an H. And of course, from there, you can not only read all my hundreds of blogs, you can not only listen to every episode of The Dream Show that ever has been, and in the future, every episode that will be. You can also find out about my consultation services, and you can find out about how to get to The Dream Academy, which is my online learning platform, where you can study how to interpret your own dreams and how to become a dream therapist. But over to our interview. Enjoy.
All right, Jane, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Katie. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm so excited to have you here. So excited. So I know that most people are going to be wondering, at least a little bit, I'm wondering, how do you get into being a dream analyst? How does that happen? So can you please take us back to like when that moment came when you knew that this was your path?
The actual moment, I'll set up towards...
Set up the moment, yeah, set it up. Set up our story for us.
I guess as a child, like most children, I had really exciting, unusual dreams, but I talked about them, and most children didn't really. But I really felt like this was... When I was a child, I thought this was an alternative world. You know, I actually went to these places when I was asleep, and I was really curious about it. Mm. And as I grew older, I realised it wasn't quite like that, but I was still very curious and very passionate. And so, you know, when I was at school, I was told I was very good at science. So I was a good girl, and I went and studied science. I went to university to study science because, you know, you do what your teachers tell you to do. You're good at that, so you must go and do this. So I did that. But even in science, I was drawn towards studying how the brain and the nerves work. So how, when we look at things or we listen or we touch or we feel, how our brain interprets that, what sense we make of it. Because what we see in front of us or what we hear or feel, we interpret according to our past experiences. So when you think about that, I didn't know at the time, but I wasn't actually that far away from
working in dreams. But we then scroll on about 10 years, and I was in a situation where over a few weeks, I suddenly realized a lot of people were just mentioning their dreams, and I was thinking, how can you not know what that dream is about? It's a starting point here. And so being the scientist that I am, I kind of dropped everything and I went to research. I didn't want to go by what I was reading in books in the shops because it didn't seem to make much sense. So I set up a few hundred people as a research group, just did it myself, got them to do surveys, answer questions, do experiments, record their dreams and record what was going on for them in the daytime. So we've got what issues were happening for you, what emotions were you having, ooh, what happened at night in your dreams, same the next day and so on and so on. And that's where it began. It began with the research, and then very, very, very quickly I had a book published by HarperCollins here in Australia, and it all began from there.
It's amazing. It's super fascinating. I think dreams are so interesting. And that's obviously like why I wanted to have you on the show. And I love that you blend like the science with it. So you just like know so much. I'm like, this is just like perfect. So can you tell us a little, like, just like a loose idea of what are dreams to you? Like what do dreams represent? Like your working definition of a dream?
Yeah. So a dream is the experience you have while your dreaming mind or brain is processing the last 1 to 2 days of all your conscious and your unconscious experiences. Now, first of all, you may think, oh, that's not true, because when I dream, I often dream that I go back to my childhood or I dream of what I might be doing tomorrow, and that doesn't sound like the last 1 to 2 days to me. But rethink it. Your dreaming mind and your dreaming brain is going through, oh, what happened in the last 1 to 2 days? It's 1 to 2 days because sometimes so much happens, it takes 2 nights to process stuff. Mm. And so while you might be processing a particular emotion or experience or issue that you had, your dreaming mind is going to go, that resonates with what happened when you were 5. So then you shoot back and you're in your childhood home when you were 5, or somebody from your past comes up. So your brain is doing that processing of the last couple of days, comparing to all your past experiences, the idea being that you wake up in the morning, fresh new mindset, able to cope with the future. So sometimes your dreams then like project ahead. So your dream might go, so if you're in this situation tomorrow where you're at work and this happens, how might you handle that? But it's all about processing the last 2 days. And it doesn't quite look like that, because the part of your brain that is kind of logical and rational and editing is really quite asleep, and it's left to your right brain, or your more holistic emotional brain, to come up with the pictures and the drama that go with that processing. And that's why you then need to understand a dream, you need to kind of go back in with that right brain feeling. What if a painter painted a picture of trying to capture everything in the last couple of days in a picture, and then you were left the next morning to look at that picture and go, what did they actually mean when they painted my life that way? That's a little bit how you interpret a dream. So, yeah, in my language, that's what a dream is.
Amazing. So I'm a hypnotherapist, so I work a lot with the subconscious, right? And so my understanding was kind of like, you know, the similarities, and I love how we can talk about like, this is the left brain, the right brain, subconscious, unconscious, like there's just all these parts of consciousness that who knows what the hell it is, but using the symbols of the subconscious is so powerful, and it's fun. It's really fun to use it, but it's a new language to understand. So that's why I was so just like interested in the dream work, because it makes sense to me. And that's a new perspective of me hearing too, that it's kind of like within the last 1 to 2 days. I haven't heard that. That's really interesting. Some things that I have heard before, and I'm sure there's a lot of things that people have heard, that like, you know, your dreams are signs, or they're trying to communicate to you, or like it's your soul speaking to you, or maybe you're a prophecy, or like whatever's going on. What are your insights on some of the more like woo-woo theories about dreams?
It's very subtle. It's very subtle. But if we start with the one about my dreams are trying to tell me something, like if you go back to the idea of your dream is processing the last couple of days to try to make sense of your world, what your dream is really doing is giving you, once you can look into it, an idea of your mindset. You can look into that dream when you've interpreted it and you can say, oh, look, I didn't know this, but I've got unconscious beliefs that this, that, or the other, or I've got an unconscious behavior pattern that always results in me responding in the world in this way. I didn't know that. That's really good stuff. So your dream is reflecting what is. It's reflecting particularly what is in your unconscious mind. Mm. It's not saying, and therefore you should do this. Yeah. It's saying, look, here you are. What would you like to do about this? So in that sense, you can sort of say, oh, I look to my dreams for guidance, but you're the one giving yourself the guidance, or the person you choose to help you look at your dream is the one that's going to help you get guidance. I look at my dream and I can see that I've got this unconscious behavior pattern that is not really working very well for me. I think what I would like to do is change that, or I'm going to leave my job, or whatever it is. So the dream provides the material for you to take guidance from it. And one of your other ones was seeing the future, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are occasionally some dreams where irrefutably we do glimpse the future, and then it comes along and you think, oh my goodness, note by note, detail by detail, I have dreamt this. And it's not as simple as, you know, you have a common dream of a plane crashing and then 6 months later you dreamed of a plane crashing, oh, I dreamt about that. It's not that. Mm-hmm. It's when a dream if something comes up and it's identical. It's extremely rare. I have experienced it in the past quite a lot, not so much now. A lot of people contacted me many decades ago and said they'd had this experience. So what I did was I interviewed them, I went and did lots of research, I put myself under hypnotherapy to hypnotize myself into the future with the hypnotherapist. I experimented with, can we tell the future?
Yeah.
In our dreams, and I wrote a book about it. So, but the bottom line of that was that even those dreams which came true, if when you had the dream you had analysed it symbolically, it would have made complete and utter meaning of your mindset and what was going on for you at the time. So it's really important to not think about your dreams as predicting the future. If they do, you can go, oh, that's really unusual. I love the mystery of the universe sometimes, but really concentrate on the dream, because you're otherwise missing the opportunity to get that window into your mindset and detect things about your unconscious mind that are not really working so well for you. I remember there were three questions you asked. I can't remember what the second scenario was.
I don't remember them. I'm like, Jane, I talk so fast. I like forget what I asked, but I think that was really helpful. I think, yeah, like being a prophecy, predicting the future, are they trying to tell me something? And is it a sign? But that's kind of like covered within that too. I think more like the spiritual realm of like, is your spirit like trying to talk to you? But to me, and honestly, you know, I believe, you know, we can all have our own beliefs about it, but there is a spiritual nature to the subconscious to me. It is like, it is spiritual. Like I really enjoy it. Even though it's like this loose structure that none of us can really grasp onto, the symbolism, the magic of it all. It's like, oh, it's a fun language to learn.
I totally agree with you, Katie, and I use the word spiritual too. We have all these words, don't we? You know, and even like you say subconscious, I say unconscious, we're talking about the same thing.
Yeah.
But to me, yeah, this, my spiritual life is very important to me, and working with dreams from a spiritual perspective is really important to me. And I guess if we're talking definitions and semantics, yeah, I'm really saying, you know, look into your mindset. Yes, that's sounding very scientific, and it's because there are tools and techniques that you can learn to do this. That help get you a long way. But the bottom line of all of that is then to say, okay, so this is how I'm responding in the world because I've got this mindset. Where did that mindset come from? Where in my past did I respond in this way or the other way? You know, what set this up? How can I be a better person in the world? What's my purpose? What's my meaning? How can I take what I know about my unconscious mind and make my life better? Make myself a better service to others, all these spiritual things, but also spiritual in the sense of exactly what you say, Katie. It feels magical. It feels like mystical. It feels like working with a dream, even though you may take scientific tools and techniques into it and come out with something quite concrete, it feels and it is like you're working with a greater part of yourself. It's not just your mind. It's everything. It's the whole being. And it's when you're asleep and in contact with that huge unconscious or subconscious part of yourself, that is the real you, and that's what you're privileged through working with dreams to glimpse and get your fingers in and change. Yeah.
Yes. I love that so much. And, you know, I'm such a big proponent of that too, to just kind of clarifying what it is. And so something that I speak about, which isn't like... I don't say anything is true. This is all like me just speaking. But I like to refer to like the... you know, like sometimes like the subconscious is being more of that like form, rigid conditioning Because I think a lot of people would, especially in personal development, it's like, oh, your subconscious beliefs are keeping you back and these are all your traumas. And it's like, yes, but that unconscious is this like greater field of like whatever is coming in there, and just so much movement and future pacing and fluidity. And like all of that comes in there. And it's not just like you're always going back to the past. It is like that other essence of you.
Yes.
Oh, it's so magical. I love it. Oh, I love it. What do you say to people who say that they can't remember their dreams?
Yeah. First of all, like other question that you almost asked is, if some people say they don't dream.
Yes. Yes.
And
I corrected myself. You totally caught me. Yeah. I totally corrected myself because I've heard it before. It's like everyone dreams, people.
Yeah, everyone dreams. Just in case anybody listening or watching didn't know that, everybody dreams. If you have an 8-hour sleep but you don't dream and you keep that up over a number of days and weeks, which you can do in the sleep laboratory, you are not very well at all. We actually need our dreaming to stay healthy physically, physiologically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Without our dreams, we actually in the end probably die. So the dream, we all dream, animals.
That's really interesting. So why are dreams keeping us healthy? That's really interesting.
Yeah, nobody really knows, but we imagine it's to do with, you know, the way that the brain and the nerves interact. Mm-hmm. So keeping the connections open, working, everything that the nervous system does for our body to keep us healthy, and the autonomic nervous system as well as the motor nervous system. But nobody really knows. But it's to do with, I guess, basically, you know, it's flushing out the brain, processing the brain, getting the brain working. Without that, we don't do very well at all. So that's, so everybody dreams. Not remembering them, there are several reasons. There are two really common ones. The first one is that as a child, when you have bad dreams, your parent or somebody said to you, don't worry, dear, it's only a dream. It's not important. It didn't happen. It's not real, which is great to hear as a kid. But you're actually being told that this is not something that's important enough to remember. In fact, you've just had a scary dream, so it's better not to remember at all. So you're actually being softly programmed to not remember your dreams. And that's also not good for building, if a child wakes in the middle of the night with a scary dream, it's actually an opportunity to do some great parent bonding. Oh, how did you feel? Because whenever you think about dreams, when you were in that dream, you had strong, scary emotions. Right. And you as a child don't want a parent saying that wasn't real, because those emotions were real. You felt them. As you grow older, you might be a little bit less inclined to share your emotions with your parent because they've just said they're not real, it didn't happen. They're just one little thing to bear in mind. So that's one reason why many people don't remember their dreams. Another one is similar, but it's more that when you're older, you have a really scary dream and you wake up and you say, I don't want to remember any more dreams, and you basically program yourself not to remember. The other, I said there were two, but I guess the third main one, which is more relevant in today's age, is that if you are woken up by an alarm, and you either jump out of bed and get straight on with the day, or you pick up your phone and do your scrolling. You've missed that moment to remember. So you've really got to maybe set two alarms. The second alarm's the time you've really got to get up or get scrolling or whatever it is that you really have to do.
Yeah, because obviously getting scrolling is key. It's like the worst thing we can do in the morning. Terrible.
You set the alarm for the first one, maybe 10 minutes before, maybe 15 minutes before. And when that alarm goes off, you move into the position that you think you dream in. So you're sort of going into a position where your body muscles maybe have memory of the way that you sleep. And then just, if you really put yourself under pressure, you're not going to remember anything. So just say to yourself, I'm just allowing any little snippet of a dream to come up. And if it comes up, that's great. If it doesn't, that's okay. And you usually find after a few mornings of that, that something will come up. And even if it's just a tiny little memory, you know, oh, I think I was back at school, I can't remember anymore, write it down in a dream journal and keep doing that for a few mornings, and soon the gates open and you're remembering your dreams. And then that second alarm goes off. You can get out of bed, you can scroll, you can do whatever you like. You've captured your dreams.
Yes. Yes. Amazing. Thank you for that little tidbit. And I'm sure like later on in the episode, we'll kind of go into what we can really do with the insight that we get. But I have other questions, because I'm just like obviously so fascinated with this. So since you already mentioned about like having scary dreams, what does that mean for people who are having really fearful based dreams on like a consistent basis? Because obviously it's not like, you know, someone's having the dream that they're getting kidnapped or like molested or something terrible like that. It's not like that's happening to them in the present moment or happened to them within the last couple of days, but it's that symbol. So what does that mean for you?
So everybody's symbol is different. You know, that's why you can't go and buy a dream dictionary and just look at, oh, what does being kidnapped mean? It's your mind and it's your brain and it's your experiences building this picture of the dream. But for example, it might be if someone was dreaming of being kidnapped, then in the last couple of days, of course, they weren't being kidnapped, but they might have had some sense of being restricted in some way, of being stopped from doing what they want to do, probably by themselves, or something. And in interpreting and working with the person in the dream, you'd work out what that was. But to answer your question properly, really, now that, you know, with this idea that dreams are reflecting the last 1 to 2 days and processing those, if you've got a recurring dream, and particularly a recurring bad dream, well, either way, a recurring dream, you can say, every time I have this dream, it's because something happened in the last 1 to 2 days. So the recurring dream is a recurring issue in your life. So if you've had a recurring dream, for example, of being kidnapped or any scary dream, the best question to ask yourself, if you can remember, is when did you first have this dream? Or when did you first remember having this dream? It's slightly more accurate. Funnily enough, people are usually quite clear. Oh, yes, it was when. So that was May 2016. I remember it clearly. So you can say, well, that was the first time, or probably the first time, that this issue came up and you dreamt about it. Now, most of our recurring dreams are unresolved at the end. They don't have happy endings. They're scary, or they kind of end with, and I still couldn't find the way to, or I still was losing teeth, or I still couldn't. So your dreaming mind in processing is unable to come to a solution. It's stuck. Just like your waking life is stuck over this issue. Stuck, 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 stuck. So working with a recurring dream is one of the best places to start, because you're going to unlock something, find out something about yourself that's stuck and unlock it. So in this kind of kidnapped scenario dream, it's possible that back then when you first had the dream, it was the first time that something happened and you ended up feeling as if you'd been snatched from what it was that you wanted to do, or snatched from a sense of growth, or whatever it was, you'd worked that out. Now, if it's a scary dream, as most frightening dreams are, and nightmares to me is just another word for a scary dream, but what usually happens is that in a scary dream, you're frightened. If you're kidnapped in a dream, you're very frightened. And what happens is that your brain actually does produce adrenaline, the fear hormone. Mm-hmm. It will probably produce cortisone, the stress hormone. So even though you're dreaming, even though it's a vision in your head, your body is actually feeling it. And it's that feeling of the fear response or the stress response, the actual physiological feeling in your body, that will often wake you up from the dream. Then there you are in bed going, or whatever it is, goosebumps in the world. So, and you really feel that something's happened, because your body is telling you that something has, and that compounds the panic and makes it even worse. Mm. So that's the kind of physiological basis. There are two important things to do about it, which, would you like to go into that?
Yeah, sure.
One in the longer term is to either find out how to interpret your dreams yourself, or get some help so that you can work out, well, what is this thing that I'm really frightened of, and what is it going to tell me about myself, and how can I overcome it? In the short term interim, you wake up, say, from a kidnapped dream, sit up in bed so you're awake, close your eyes, re-enter the dream, just in terms of just revisualizing the beginning of it, get to the point where the first bad thing happened, and change that. So you might, in a kidnapped dream, I'd be playing in the park, having fun with my friends. I'd turn around to speak to this person. Whoops, they've got a bag over my head and they've kidnapped me. So in your visualization, I'm playing with friends, I'm in the park, I turn to speak to this person, and we have a lovely conversation, we go off and play something like that. Now, in reality, you really need to talk to a specialist, or you need to find out how to do this yourself, because you need to really understand what your kidnapping dream is about in order to do that visualization, so that you're transforming it the right way. But as a quick fix, it's a good idea to do. There's only one proviso, and that's when you do this reimagining or this revisualization, you mustn't kill off the bad guy. You've always got to transform a bad thing or a bad drama into a good drama, because everything in the dream represents something about you. So if you kill off the bad guy, you're actually killing off a part of yourself. You're making a hole in your psyche. You want to transform the good into the bad into the good. And that's a process I call dream alchemy. It is more complex than that, but what I've given there is a kind of instant partial fix it to get you through the night before you can really look at your dream or get some help with it.
Beautiful. I love that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Jane, I have to ask you now because you're here and I have to take advantage of you being here. I've had a recurring dream that's literally been recurring for probably 2 years. And yeah. After you just saying that, I was kind of like, oh my God.
This yeah, is like, I already know what this is about. Oh my God.
Yes. Just like, so I'm going to throw out there. I'm going to be vulnerable and we're going to do this thing. So basically my dream is about me getting back with my ex-boyfriend, but it not working.
Yes.
Like he comes back into my life. We try it out, but then something happens where it doesn't work. And it's like, it happens over and over and over again. And I've done work around this and I'm just like, even like in hypnotherapy around this, like releasing it, I'm just like, what the fuck does this mean? And it's interesting because when you're talking about like what you've been processing with the last couple of days, and I'm really trying to think like, I don't really know what is making that connection. I'm curious what you have to say though now, because that's going to drive me crazy now.
No, that's lovely. Just one question, Katie. How do you feel about it not working out in the dream, when you're in the dream?
So sad and heartbroken.
Right, okay.
So sad.
So on one level, and I don't think it's this because you've already looked, on one level you can just be still going through the grieving process, but I don't think that's likely after 2 years and after using all your skills.
Yeah.
It's more likely, and this is the difficulty when we dream of a partner or an ex-partner, because it seems to be about the relationship and it doesn't seem like a bizarre dream. It's not a dream, and then I went flying and then I saw a pink elephant. It feels real. We can sometimes think, oh no, this is definitely about my relationship or this is definitely about the breakup. But most cases it's not. It's just using that guy or that essence of the broken relationship to illustrate something else. And I will come to what I think it is. And the other thing is that the male side for a female, the male, like the ex-partner, may also in our dreams represent our male side, our world of work, what we're trying to do. So if you summarized the personality of your ex in three words, what would they be?
Charismatic, fast. And loving.
Okay. So on one level, this is a technique to find out what people represent in our dreams. So a person who is charismatic in your dream might represent your issues over charisma. Mm-hmm. So you can take charismatic on one end. What would you, Katie, not anybody else, say was the opposite to charismatic?
Awkward.
Awkward, that's fine. Everybody has a different opposite when you're talking dreams. So, for example, your dream may or may not be looking at issues over how charismatic to be or how awkward do I feel, which goes along the line of basically how do I public image and how do I present myself. You know, and with any, I'm not saying it's about that, I'm just picking that as one of the three. If it were that, in an ideal world, as you well know, we walk the middle path. So you're like, you understand where charismatic people are coming from. You understand where awkward people are coming from, but you've got a lovely balance in the middle where you're neither too charismatic, neither too awkward. You've just got that Goldilocks point. You've got it right. So our dreams can, other people in our dreams can highlight issues. You know, he's also loving, unloving, fast, slow. I don't know. You know, those could be issues that you're processing. But the essence of a dream, though, is that you're trying to get back together and it's not working out. So I would plump, normally with a dream, I'd work for an hour with someone and we go back and forth and we would actually get it quite accurate. But because we're just doing this in a couple of minutes, I would plump with him, probably representing your male side and your world of work. And something that when it comes up, represents something that you're trying to get back to, something that has been, a situation that you want to get back to, but it's not working out and you're disappointed with that. If you just take that, if you stand a long way back from a dream and you summarize, this is a dream interpretation technique, like a step one, and you do what I call a one simple sentence, but you keep it vague. So your dream in the one single sentence would be, this will be wrong. Your first thought is to say, my dream in one single sentence is that my ex and I are trying to get back together and it's not working out. That's not vague enough. The one simple sentence would be, I'm trying to get something happening again, but it's just not working out and I'm really sad about this. Now you take that thought and then you look in your life in the 1 or 2 days before each time the dream comes up and you say, where in my life do I feel that there's something I'm trying to get happening again, something that I used to have, something I want to get back, or I want to get back that feeling of whatever it is, but it's not quite working out for me. And that avenue will lead you to realize what it is.
That makes sense. That definitely makes sense. Okay. Interesting. Yeah.
Imagine if you worked for an hour on that, we would nut out without everybody else listening in. We would actually nut out what it was.
No one's surprised that's listening. They're like, Katie always throws her shit on here. I'm just like a personal diary. Yes, that's super interesting. Thank you for that. Because, yeah, I think, and you know, I think a lot of people too, what I've heard, just talking to people when I was like, oh, I'm going to do like a dream podcast. And I was asking people what they dream about. A lot of people dream of their ex. It's actually like what I've been hearing just like a lot of. And I was like, thank God it's not just me, because I'm kind of like being like, Jesus, Katie, let go.
In the early days of dreaming about an ex, while it's still really, you know, emotional, those dreams are often going through the grieving process or the working it all out. It's just that 2 years down the track, that's less likely to be what it's about. And then you'll have these dreams. This is one that a lot of people might relate to, where you are really over the ex. You have think you've done that. You really don't want to be with them anymore. But you have this amazing dream where they come back and everything is wonderful and they're a completely different person. And you can be very tempted to go, oh, maybe we should get back together because maybe he really does love me. And if you phone them, you'll find out nothing has changed, because it's not about them. It's about yourself. And that kind of dream can be you, of course, coming to terms, integrating, you know, the actual hugging process or getting together in the dream can be integrating that whole relationship or grief or letting it go and transforming within yourself. It can be about forgiveness. It can be about any of those things. But to wake up from a suddenly positive relationship dream, think, oh, God, I better get back in contact. Don't go there. Try to understand the dream first.
Yeah, that's super helpful too, because I think I definitely got in the habit of like using dreams like a prophecy, like a prophecy, but just being like taking them very, very literal and not like, and I think that, you know, too, for me, just because like we're talking about this and it's bringing it up. To me, what resonates is kind of like him representing just the romantic quality in general, and like not being just about him, but just like that feeling of like, this isn't done yet. That's always been a big thing with my unconscious, what I've done with hypnotherapy, that the closure isn't there yet. And I'm still like, I'm not good enough to be loved again. And like that kind of thing coming up. So it resonates. It's interesting for me to go deeper. So for people that come up in our dreams on a recurring basis, you're saying that they mean something about us and not the person. So outside of an ex, what else comes up for people? Like, what kind of people come into our dreams and why are they coming up?
Well, you know, most people will say something like, outside of family members that seem to come up, will say, you know, it's really weird. Why do I always dream about that teacher that I had in grade 3, or why do I always dream about that particular friend at school who really wasn't a good friend of mine, or why would I dream of so-and-so, a neighbor from years ago? You know, they're confused because these aren't important people in their lives, but they keep dreaming about them. And that's where your dreaming mind is kind of classified, because classified will judge that, oh, that person is unfriendly, judgmental, critical, whatever it is. And your personal dream dictionary to some extent has filed that away. Oh, so whenever we're going to dream about issues of, what did I say, judgment, critical, whatever it is, that will be a great image. So they're kind of like, represents. And, you know, we all might know a person, but we all see that person through our own eyes. We all see them differently. So for that person to be in my dream or your dream or somebody else's dream, it's not about the person. It's about our views about the person. It's about us.
Yeah.
Your beliefs. Sometimes, you know, that works 90% of the time. You know, 10% of the time, you might say, well, what else does this person represent to you? And you might, you know, I always remember that we were in this class together and such happened. So maybe other associations go down the association route. Because this is taken a scientific angle into dream interpretation 90% and then going with intuition the rest, you're interpreting how the right brain has captured this processing, there can be no cut and dried in the last little bit. You're really sort of looking, and then all of a sudden, the moment you know a dream interpretation is correct is when you go, oh, when I'm talking to someone like a client and I hear them go, I know, I say, you just got that. And they, yeah, I've got it. That, and you know, if you're still going, oh, I'm not really sure about that, you haven't hit it. But the moment you go, oh, yeah, that works. That's what that's about.
Mm. It's so interesting for me to think about people that become so fascinated with dreams and are like, I need a dream interpreter. Like, I need this, right? So what kind of people do you notice that come to you to get this? Are they coming because they keep having a recurring dream, or are they just super interested in like next stages of their life? Like, what kind of people do like come to you?
That's really a great question, Katie. I'd say that more than half come the first time because they've either had a scary dream or they've had a scary recurring dream. And they're coming simply from, this has got to stop. I'm really frightened. What's this saying about me? Am I a bad person? Or I keep dreaming my child is going to die. Is this going to happen? That will often be the starting point. And then once we've worked with that, and particularly once they've really experienced that, you know, it's symbolic and experienced it, a healing in some other area of their life, then they will often come back with other dreams and become really interested about what their general dreams are expressing about themselves and working with those to improve their lives on every level. So more than half will be that. Probably about a quarter will be people that have read my books or listened to my podcast show, which is a dream show, for a very long time, mm-hmm. and then got to that point of, I've got to have one, I've got to go there. Mm-hmm. And the other one will be, come from quite a different angle, will be people who haven't been that particularly interested in their dreams, but know that something is stuck or something's not working in their life. And just like they might choose to come to a hypnotherapist or any other modality, they, for some reason, are talking to somebody and they say, well, maybe a dream analyst will help, and they come in at that point.
Gotcha.
There is another very small minority, and they're people who are considering, usually therapists and clinicians that are considering working in dreams themselves, will come and have one or two appointments first just to kind of see how it goes and how it feels, mm-hmm. and then usually, you know, study with me to become professional themselves. So that's most of them. I occasionally have children, but of course I always usually, not always, I usually keep the parent present, and that's always very enlightening and precious to work with little kids. But that's a minority.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. I think it's so awesome just to bring even more like validity to dreams and to not make it like, oh, it's just your dream. It's like, what are you talking? This is like everyone that is experiencing this. I just like love making it more normal and like a healing modality. I think that's so powerful. So for people like who, once we're looking at a dream and this is, maybe it's recurring, maybe it's not, but we see the dream and we're like, okay, this is representing something about me, whether it was this person or this symbol. How do people begin doing this for themselves if they're not ready to work with someone? Like, how would they begin breaking down the symbols of their dream?
It is it's funny. It's a little bit, I hesitate to say it's like learning a foreign language because it's not really, but you know that experience where you start to learn a foreign language and it's just really hard, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, like almost overnight, you can speak the language. Mm-hmm. And learning the tools and techniques of dream interpretation is a little bit like that. So one of the, it depends on how you learn, you know, one of the best steps is to do that thing that we ran past a few minutes ago, one simple sentence, you know, to stand back from your dream a long way and summarize it in one simple sentence, but vaguely, and then say, where in the last 1 to 2 days did I feel like that? Now, usually you'll make the connection. So what that's doing is helping you to really hit that point. Yeah, I can see this dream is related to my life. But then, of course, you want to go deeper and understand what those symbols mean and how to work it. So, There are several ways to do this. If you want to do it over a long, slow period for free, one way to do that is to listen to my podcast, The Dream Show, because a lot of those, not all, but a lot of the series are where we have a guest on the show. And it's an hour show. And I ask the guest not to tell me the dream before we begin. So the moment we press record, it's the first time I hear the dream. So the listeners are hearing the whole process between the dream being presented and how we deal with it for a whole hour. And of course, apart from being really interesting listening, because you get to find out all about this person, not me, the dreamer. And most of them are, of course, are anonymous unless they want to say who they are. You actually absorb a lot of the tools and techniques for listening to that show. If you want to go faster track, I have a training website, which as well as offering courses for people that want to become professional dream therapists, I also have a course for people that just want to be able to interpret their own dreams, and it takes you through watching videos, got a manual, et cetera, et cetera. So you can go there and learn the basic techniques and then practice them on yourself. So my only advice would be, you know, if you don't choose me, for your resources, choose someone that is professional and knows what they're doing. Do not go to a bookshop and get a dream dictionary. Don't go online for a dream dictionary, because it will lead you a long way away from what your dream really means, and can also be, it can be harmful as well.
Yeah. I'm glad you, that's interesting. And so I did want to ask about that too, because like you're mentioning, you know, our dreams are so individual and they're based on like what our mind symbolizes. And it's really like up to us to kind of do that detective work. And there's also dreams that so many people frequently have, right? Like dreams like flying, or dreams of your teeth falling out. Are there some larger bucket meanings behind those dreams, or are they really, really individual? Like, what are your thoughts on those?
A bit of both. So they are general life themes usually, and I'll go over a couple of them. In fact, my current book, which is, I haven't got it close to me at the moment, which is called The Dream Handbook, which is published by Hachette in Australia and by Little Brown Piatkis in the UK, goes over the main dream themes, the common dream themes that we all go through. So if you pick, say, a theme like flying, you know, a lot of people have a flying dream, not a lucid dream, but it's a flying dream, or a teeth falling out, or any of these. Say, let's a flying one. Then we all might say, Oh, yeah, I have a flying dream. We all have a common dream theme of flying, but your flying dream will be different from hers, from his, because, you know, my dream might be, oh, I met so and so, specific person, under a tree, specific tree. We fly up into the sky, we get caught in the power line, specific. So the details are different. But you can still draw some parallels of the general theme. In my book, The Dream Handbook, even at that, we don't go in and say, if you have a flying dream, in general, it means this. It takes you through a process where you can say, oh, flying dreams, maybe about this, maybe about, in general, they're kind of like this, but let me answer these questions and find out what my specific flying dream is about. So if, for example, we all have flying dreams, they might be. An important question to ask yourself in a dream is, how did I feel, like I asked you? So if you've got a flying dream, how do you feel when you're flying? Some people might say, amazing, free. You know, and some people might say, really good, because I was escaping the monster. And other people might say, really frustrating, because like, I just get going. And that emotion is key to what the dream is about. So in the case of really good, because I'm escaping, the dream theme is probably, I don't want to look at what's happening in my life. I want to escape. I don't want to get grounded here. I want to escape. A person that's feeling really great about the flying, particularly if they're flying and looking down to their friend and say, come on, you can do it. You can do it. And the friends go, no, you can, yes, you can. Just flap your wings, come up. Remembering that everyone in a dream is an aspect of yourself. That dream is likely to be this part of you is ready to really lift to a higher potential. I can do this. Something I feel I can really do. And I've got to persuade all these other parts of myself that have self-doubt that I can really do this. Because you have this kind of conflict in the dream. And so it goes from there. So another common dream that we all share might be, which one would you like to pick? It's another
commentary. Teeth falling out. I feel like it's so random. And I remember like one of the first times I dreamt that I was like, this is the like weirdest dream ever. Once I started like I'm admitted here. I like went to Google and I was like, what does this mean? And so many people had that same dream and I've had it like maybe like 7 or 8 times. And so I'm just like, wow, it's like a really weird dream. But yeah, I never knew what it meant.
It is one of the most common dream themes. It used to be said, and I don't feel that it's true, but it used to be said that you might dream of losing your teeth if you're a teeth grinder at night. But I've spoken to a lot of people who aren't teeth grinders that don't have the dream, and people that are teeth grinders. So we sort of put that over there as a possibility, but unlikely. We all lost our teeth when we were about 6, 7, 8, 9, you know, our milk teeth falling out. And so one possibility that's often quite strong in these dreams is that whatever emotions we had about that as a child, you know, particularly if anyone made fun of you, or you found that you were trying to say something and you couldn't because you had all these gaps in your teeth and you couldn't express yourself, sometimes that dream will come up when in the last 1 to 2 days you've touched upon that. I was in this situation, I couldn't express myself, or I felt like people were making fun of me. You're dreaming mine, but yeah, it's like when you were little and you lost teeth, and so you might dream of losing teeth. Another more common possibility is that if you say, well, how did you feel about the teeth, losing teeth in the dream? And some people will say, oh, I just felt embarrassed. Other people might say, I was losing confidence. Other people were saying, I was really irritated. Like, I just kept, every time I opened my mouth, his teeth were coming out, and it was really annoying me. Now, you take those statements and apply them to the day or two before. So I was really embarrassed my teeth were falling out. Where were you embarrassed yesterday? Will often be something you were trying to say and you felt you were saying it all wrong. You might as well have had your teeth coming out. Your teeth might be the words coming out of your mouth. You felt embarrassed. If you're in the dream where every time you open your mouth, your teeth is spitting them out and you're really irritated, maybe in the last couple of days you felt like you were spitting out words to people and getting really irritated, not in what you were saying, but irritated with yourself for the way that you were expressing yourself. Mm. So it will be individual for each person, but it does often come down to matters of communication and how you're feeling about that, and not feeling like I'm strong teeth, confident, smiling kind of person here. I'm feeling every time I open my mouth, something's coming out and I can't put it back in. Maybe I'm speaking words I wish I hadn't spoken and I'd like to put them back in. So that's kind of like a range of possibilities, and there are more that when I've worked with people with teeth falling out, dreams have often come true. But if you go through with the techniques, particularly that one simple sentence first, and then the emotions you had in the dream and other things that you can do, you really get down extremely specifically and the dreamer is in no doubt, yeah, I absolutely connect. That was what was happening for me. What are we going to do about that? And then you move on to that next stage about what you do about transforming your mindset so you're not in that situation again, or you handle it differently.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about that, about how to use dreams as a tool for change. Before I get into that, I just have a question for you, like a personal question. Do you believe that our dreams have intentionality, and that the ones that we remember are done with very specific intention for us to heal that thing? Because we obviously, I mean, at least I've heard that we have so many dreams throughout the night, you know, it's like we only remember maybe like one or two of them. Do you believe that there's like a force of intention behind it?
Sort of. I'd be very careful how I choose my words, because it's not in the sense of the dream intending to give you guidance, but because you're doing that processing, there will be an unconscious part of yourself, perhaps, that might be saying, I'm over this. We have got to get this sorted. It's time for healing now. And we're going to go really deep. And we're going to go deep into something that is so emotional. And the reason you haven't looked at it is because it is so emotional and it's going to scare you. And so you wake up and you remember that dream vividly because it had emotions in it that you probably didn't really want to face. And they could be great emotions. They could be the emotions of, and there I am finally doing what I want to do and feeling joyful and feeling wonderful. And I haven't wanted to look at that possibility, because if I go and do that, all these other things are going to fall apart in my life. But so, in a sense, your unconscious mind could be going, remember this dream, remember this dream, remember this dream. It's not there to guide you, but you're ready in that sense of the intention. You're ready unconsciously intending to be ready to process something that you haven't looked at before. And, of course, that dream's going to have more potential meaning and potential healing than some of the other dreams.
Totally. Makes total sense. Total sense. So once we get the awareness and we start to look at some of these symbols and just kind of get ideas using that framework sentence, how do we use it for change? Because I think a lot of times, you know, at least this is what I experience with my clients is I become aware of my unconscious patterns, but changing it is a whole different story. So how do you typically guide people towards changing?
So there are very, very small percentage of people who are quite amazing, or small percentage of situations where they go, oh, wow, I didn't know that about myself. Now I have perfect awareness. I can do that. And sometimes, very rarely, but sometimes that's enough.
Yeah.
Most not, because the unconscious mind is going, yeah, I know you're aware, but I'm still here and I'm bigger than your conscious mind. You know, I'm the one that's driving you, whether you can see me or not. If you can see your unconscious mind, you're partially conscious of it, but I have the power here. So yeah. So for me, that's the beauty of working with dreams. You know, you have the beauty of working with hypnotherapy because you have similar techniques to go in and talk to those unconscious beliefs and patterns and switch them. Mm-hmm. In dreams, what we're doing is we're using the language of your individual unconscious mind. So if I work out that a particular symbol, let's keep it really easy just for the sake of getting the message across. Maybe I dream of a plant that's dying, and I work out that it's my personal symbol. It's something that I should be nourishing and growing in my life, and it's not happening. It's dying. I'm not feeding it enough. Maybe I'll work out that's my symbol. And I'm aware of that. I go, yeah, you know, that's my business. I'm going to nourish my business. I'm going to do this. And your unconscious mind is going, no, you're not, because if you nourish your business, you're going to become really successful and nobody's going to like it or whatever it is. So you've got to address the unconscious mind. So in this simple example where I've had a dream where the plant is dying, I might then do a dream alchemy practice. Now, dream alchemy practice can be any modality. It might be a visualization. It might be an affirmation, it might be artwork, it might be body work, it can be all number of things, but we'll keep it to visualization because it's easy to get the message across. So in this one, I might, first of all, I have to thoroughly understand the dream so I know I'm prescribing the dream alchemy correctly. But if I've gone into the dream and I really do understand that this dying plant represents me not nurturing and nourishing this aspect of my business, and it's in fact would be a good thing to do this, and I want to do this, I want to stop sabotaging it, it's really simple. I would close my eyes, I'd visualize being back in the dream, take it to the point where the bad thing happens, that's the plant, and then water the plant, or imagine giving it white light, or do anything that you might want to do in that visualization to instantly, and it has to be instant, you have to notice the plant go, yeah, I'm healthy and I'm wonderful. And you do that visualization. It's not like a normal visualization where you allow it to go along its own path. You know, each time you do it, you keep it short, tight, very programmed, very specific, maybe less than a minute long, maybe 30 seconds long. And when you do it, when you visualize, you bring up the emotion you want to feel. So in this case, you might bring up the emotion of feeling nourished and successful or whatever it is. So you're combining the emotion just as you would do in hypnotherapy, I imagine. And then you do that visualization, here's the challenging bit, 20 or 30 times a day for a couple of weeks. You know, you can do it in bunches of 10, that's okay, but you're basically
20 or 30 a day? Wow, yeah, that's commitment, people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but say if they're only half a minute long, you can actually run off 10 quite quickly in a row.
Yeah, hey, repetition breeds success, I love it.
Exactly, that's right. So what you're actually doing is you're talking to your unconscious mind, the unconscious mind that's going, dying plant, and you're going, not dying plant. So your unconscious mind is actually reprogrammed, or you're rewiring the brain, whatever kind of words you want to put on it. And then you find that, and how most clients express it to me and how I've experienced it, it does feel magical. You'll be going about your normal business and you'll suddenly do something completely different to how you've normally done it. You'll take that nourishing step and you'll go, wow, I never thought I'd do that. And it usually is accompanied by, that was so easy, because there's no unconscious resistance anymore. You have just reprogrammed, you have transformed, something has switched over, and it is that simple. And it is quite amazing. And because dreams actually give you your own personal unconscious language through the symbols, all the dramas, you can also transform a drama in a dream. You're actually working, communicating directly with your unconscious mind to do that transformation. The only thing being, as I said earlier when we were chatting, not to kill anything off, because then you're killing off an aspect of yourself. Always make it a transformation. So that's an example. In reality, there are tools and techniques to learn to make sure that you get, you prescribe that dream of me visualization or affirmation or whatever it is so precisely that you are actually doing the good work of transforming your unconscious mind, just as when you use hypnotherapy, there are precise ways in which to do that. Mm-hmm. And I call that dream alchemy.
I love that. I love that so much. This is like so up my alley. I think this is beautiful. And I love just to like giving people their own, you know, I think that's the beautiful part about all these modalities is giving people their own connection to that part of themselves. And just being like, holy shit, like I'm not just this thing. So I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. Like it's so it's so practical and actionable. Thank you. I really, really appreciate you sharing that. And obviously people who are like, you know, just trying to figure out their symbols and have no luck. It's like, go to a dream analyst, hit up Jane, let her help you out with your dream. That's amazing. So, I don't want to keep you too much longer, but I do want to ask because like, I know a lot of people are curious about this, including myself. What is a lucid dream and can we create lucid dreams for ourselves?
Yes. A lucid dream is where, you know how usually you're in a dream and it is so real that when you wake up, sometimes it can be like, oh,
yes.
Oh, it was a dream. But you're so totally sucked in. It totally is happening in the dream as real until you wake up and you think, oh, I've got two realities. I've got my dreaming reality and I've got my waking life reality. But you only know that you've got a waking life reality when you wake up from the dream. The dream is it. But in a lucid dream, you're having a dream and all of a sudden you think, I'm in a dream, but you stay in the dream. So you have two awarenesses. You have an awareness of the dream and that you're in a dream, and that doesn't reduce. It's not like it suddenly all pulls back to, oh, it's just a dream. It feels, in many ways, it feels even more real because you're awake to it and aware of it. And you're also aware that you are, you might even feel that you're laying in bed, but you are aware that you have a waking reality. So you are aware of two parallel realities. Mm. That technically is a lucid dream. And then you have choices how to continue with that. Now, if you're very disciplined, you might just remain with the awareness and experience the lucid dream almost in the sense of, this is amazing. I'm really enjoying how real this feels. And I'm really enjoying being able to remember everything because I'll be able to bring it back and analyze that dream and do all this wonderful healing in my life. Of course, it's much more common to go, wow, I'm in a dream. I can fly. I can do whatever I want. I can change the dream and you can actually control the dream. And, you know, you say this, you say that. And to a large extent, you can control it, but sometimes the dream will take over again and then you control it again. When you say fly in a dream, a normal dream, it's amazing. When you fly in a lucid dream, it's amazing times a million because you actually are totally sensually aware of it. Excuse me. it's amazing. So how you can set yourself up for recurring dream, for lucid dreaming, there are lots of ways to do it, many, many different ways. And the basic one is revolves around asking yourself if you're dreaming many times. So I might say to myself at this moment, am I actually talking to Katie or is this a dream? Now, there are lots of ways I could test that. I'm not going to do it, but I might get up out of my chair and bounce on my feet and see if I can fly. And if I can fly, I'll know it's a dream. That's how I usually know that I'm in a lucid dream. And then I'll get to that point and I'm flying. And go, you could have fooled me. I totally thought I was awake. I totally thought it's my waking life. I'm flying, so it's a lucid dream. But the more in your waking life you test that, but I'm just not going to get up, but I'm just going, no, I can't do it. So I know I'm in my waking life. And if you do that every, say, once or twice an hour for several days in a row, your dreaming mind is going to have to say, I've got to process this issue I've got of every half hour having to say, am I dreaming? So it's going to come up in a dream and you're going to do it and you're going to fly and you've got your lucid dream. So that's how you initiate. But B-U-T, big capital letters. If you,
Jane, I can't even lie right now. I'm like looking around myself being like, am I in a dream? I feel like my eyesight was just changing and like things were morphing. I'm not even kidding. I'm sorry. I love that. Imagine I just like took up out of my seat and you were like, holy shit, we are in a dream.
I predict your next lucid dream will be you're talking with me and all of a sudden you're flying.
Jane, this probably happened tonight. I'm so excited.
But if it's so exciting, it's so wonderful that it can be very tempting to set yourself up for lucid dreaming every night. But if you just think about what we've discussed, unless you're disciplined and just watching yourself, the moment you try to control a dream or you change it, you're interfering with your body, mind, soul's natural need to process the last couple of days. You're interfering with that processing. It is not a good thing. Mm-hmm. So I've talked to a lot of lucid dream professionals, and they say, most of them agree and say, maybe if you're going to do it, aim for a couple of nights a week or a couple of dreams a week where you're lucid dream. There's no harm in that. In fact, there's only gain, because in that lucid dreaming space, you can do your dream alchemy. You can do some self-hypnosis. You can meet the evil part of yourself that you want to talk to. You can meet a famous person and ask them for some creative advice. There's all sorts of wonderful things you can do. So do that, but allow yourself plenty of other dreaming time to do your natural, normal processing. Otherwise, you're going to get very sick. And you're going to miss out on the opportunities of finding out about your unconscious mind and being able to do those healing transformations. And we're not just talking healing transformations, are we, Katie? We're talking in your work and in mine about not just about healing, but in opening up to our greater potential. Here's a happy life. I haven't got much to heal. Rubbish. We've all got lots to heal. We haven't got anything to heal. But I'm not living the bigger life that I can lead. I'm not helping people as much as I can. I'm not really bringing my talents and skills out there. I'm not living large in a way that's good for me and good for other people. Our dreams can help us to see that and to change that too. But if you're lucid dreaming all the time, you may be missing that opportunity.
Yeah, totally. I think it just like this whole episode for me in this interview just brought so much more power to dreams. And I'm just like even more curious, but it's a practice. It's not something like, oh, just like keep, no, it's like something to really work with as a modality. I think this is awesome. And I'm like already going to set alarms on my phone to remind myself to ask if I'm dreaming, because I want to have a lucid dream that is going down. I'm going to update everyone on the podcast after I do that for a couple of weeks. That is so amazing, but definitely in moderation as all things. Yeah. Jane, I can't even thank you enough. You provided so much value in this episode, and I know everyone's going to love this, especially like, I just know I have a bunch of dreamers and we love geeking out with kind of like the more like, you know, just fluid things in our lives. So thank you so much. So please tell everyone like where we can check you out. I know that you have books and you have courses. So just give everyone, hit us with it.
Okay, I'll do that. But first of all, thank you to you too. It's lovely to have a lovely, lively conversation and interview and to create the interview together. I've really appreciated that. Yeah. So thank you for that.
Yes.
You can go to, the easiest way to access everything is to go to my website, which is janetheresa.com. That's Teresa without an H. All roads lead from there. But if you particularly, and that's where you would go for hundreds of blogs about dreams and dreaming. That's where you go to listen to all 204 episodes of The Dream Show. That's where you go to book consultations with me, obviously by phone or by Skype. And that's also where you go, and then you can move on to the other website, which is my training platform, which is called The Dream Academy. And the address for that is dream-academy-online.com. And that's where you go to do courses and training courses. And my current book is my 7th book. I've been very fortunate with being published. And it's called The Dream Handbook, and it's published by Hachette in Australia and Little Brown Piatkis in the UK. And, of course, wherever you live in the world, you can buy those. Yes. You don't have to. They are in the bookshops in Australia and the UK. So you can go into a bookshop if you're there. But otherwise, of course, you can buy them not from me but from your usual book suppliers. And, of course, at both of my sites, you can also subscribe to my newsletters so you can stay in touch and find out what's happening. And the first batch of newsletters are certainly designed to give you some tools and techniques and really get you started. So that might be something people might want to do.
Beautiful, beautiful. So we will put links to that in the show notes, guys, so you can check out Jane. But Jane, thank you again so much. So grateful for you opening and expanding our minds to the dream world. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie. Bye.
I'm sure you enjoyed that as much as I enjoyed recording it with Katie when we first did it last month. So thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. Just to remind you before you go of the website links, if you'd like to find out more about Katie, katiepasternak.com. That's Katie with a C, C-A-T-Y. If you want to find out more about me, janeteresa.com. That's Teresa without an H. And of course, if you'd like to watch some bits of the video, you can watch the whole video, but you've just listened to this whole thing once. I'm sure you won't want to watch the whole video. But if you'd like to just have a look at us recording this, then go to janeteresa.com, find the Dream Show episode 205, and in the blog there, you'll be able to click and watch the video version of that chat. I'll see you next episode. Next episode will be 206, which will go live on the 20th of July 2018, if you're following this in real time. Have a wonderful month. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.